Mr. President, Madam Director General of the World Health Organization, honorable ministers, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I am the Minister of Health for the Republic of Palau, and today I speak on behalf of the Pacific Island countries and areas. Mr. President, every day our home, the Pacific Blue Continent, made up of 22 member states and areas, is facing a frightening challenge, and one that is not of our own doing and not of our own choice: climate change. Climate change is an unwanted gift of the developed world. The Pacific Island countries and areas generate only 1/50th of 1% of the damaging greenhouse gases that is disproportionately threatening the future of the Pacific nations and peoples. Our Pacific livelihood are closely linked to the sea, the reefs, and the limited lands that for centuries have nourished and sustained our peoples and are now threatened, and with it our health, our culture, and our very survival. The Pacific Island countries and areas call for the world's attention and support on addressing climate change, as nowhere else in the world is this statement as real as in the small island states of the blue continents of the world. This leads me to the related topic, one that is of paramount concern in small island nations: the crisis of NCD. NCDs present a threat that is affecting all countries of the world, but this threat is more emergent in the small island countries like the Pacific Island countries. This is directly related to our journey toward modernity and the forces that are associated with that journey, some of which we can control and some of which are out of control of our governments. They are the major barriers for us to achieve the Millennium Development Goals, as well as achieving a much broader vision of the Pacific, the healthy islands. This year we have seen a building momentum to finally give the proper attention to the issue of NCDs, beginning for us with a Nandi statement in Fiji on the NCD crisis in the Pacific Island countries and areas, and the related Seoul statement made in the WIPRO in Korea, and more recently in Moscow declaration. In few months, the world leaders will meet in New York for United Nations General Assembly high-level meeting on prevention and control of NCDs. I appeal to this forum that we continue to place the sense of urgency on the issue of NCD crisis in anticipation of this high-level meeting so that we can effectively deal with it. The emphasis on healthy and healthful environments is not new for us in the Pacific. Since March 1995, the attainment of healthy islands has been the unifying and overarching vision for better health in the Pacific. The concept envisioned a Pacific where children are nurtured in the body, mind, and spirit, where environments invite learning and leisure, where people work and age with dignity, and where ecological balance is a source of pride, and the ocean that sustains us is to be protected for future generations. The recent draft framework on action for revitalization of healthy island is premised on health protection and health promotion. It incorporates the enhancement of primary health care as a critical implementation tool that allows us to tackle more effectively the issue of climate change, NCDs, communicable diseases, and other health-related diseases. This involves repositioning and enhancing the multi-sectoral coordination and partnership, prioritizing country action, strengthening healthcare systems, increased networking, recognition of best practices, and bringing healthcare directly to those who need it. Mr. President, since the last time this assembly gathered, we have reviewed our progress toward meeting the MDGs. Slow progress with regards to certain indicators demonstrate that greater effort is needed to be made if we are going to achieve the MDGs. Indeed, in some sectors, and in particular health, there are real risks that some of these regions' gains could be reversed because of the issues I had mentioned earlier. Within our region, there remain significant disparities among member states, which requires more intensive focus if you are going to achieve MDGs. Mr. President, I would be remiss not to mention a few of long-standing, lingering challenges that plague our region. In this arena, we welcome the initiative of our Western Pacific Regional Director, Dr. Shin Yung Soo, for bringing these issues into the spotlight once more. I am speaking of the neglected tropical diseases, such as leprosy, yaws, and lymphatic filariasis. We have the cures for this disease. We know what must be done. However, these NTDs continue to linger on. We need to work together to build commitment to eliminate these neglected communicable and tropical diseases by strengthening healthcare systems, revitalizing primary healthcare services, creating healthy settings so that we can achieve the elimination of these neglected tropical diseases, the NTDs, as we concurrently address NCDs. Mr. President, clearly the model of support, financing and technical assistance must be worked out so that our voices are not lost or overwhelmed by those who control resources. In some instances, small island countries have lost their voices because of the support that had been available to them has gradually been removed. The blue continents of the world, and in this instance, the Pacific, that has 22 member countries and areas, harbors enough resources to be self-sustained, including tuna stocks, environmental and cultural assets, and real natural resources, and must be reassured that their voices will continue to be heard. Finally, Mr. President, I would like to commend the WHO on some encouraging changes which are taking place through the leadership of Director Margaret Chan. WHO has taken a hard look at itself and its future and embarked upon a program of sweeping reform to capitalize effectively on WHO's leadership position in global health, to increase flexibility in order to adapt to a changing environment, and to ensure the capacity to address new challenges. And given the diversity of demands, to be more selective in setting priorities. A major thrust of this reform has been examination of the future financing of the organization. We welcome these introspective processes and positive changes as they have already brought in some terms of greater transparency, accountability, and key changes needed to enable WHO to respond more effectively to the new health challenges and the changing global health environment. With that, Mr. President, I would like to thank you and the World Health Assembly for hearing us today. Thank you.